She's doing much better now.
Okay, let's go.
I'd like to call the meeting of the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Recreation District to order. May I have invocation, please, Becky?
Sure. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Now help us to start this meeting with a good attitude and plenty of gratitude for all we have. Help us make the best of each and every day, and help us to clear our minds so we can make good decisions for our park. Please watch over all of our military and first responders and bring them home safe. Bless this board, our families, our friends, our homes, our new district manager. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? And if you're wearing a cap, please take it off.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. You can be seated. Madam Secretary, may we please have roll call?
Carol Summers, Chairperson.
Present.
David Curtis, First Chairman. Joe Nocanero, Secretary. Present. Mark Boda, Treasurer.
Present.
Gary Vincent, Second Vice Chair. Present. Kathy Stone, Assistant Secretary.
Present.
Rebecca Ernest, Assistant Treasurer.
Present.
And it gives us great honor to welcome our new District Property Manager, Miguel Garcia, to our meeting tonight.
Thank you very much. I am present. Just want to make sure.
First off, under the chairman announcements, there are still two open board seats. Currently, we're begging. Please show some concern and interest in the park. And if you have any inclination of trying to be a board member, we ask that you please submit your letter of intent to us so that we can consider you for placement on the board. Secondly, on the same note, this year we don't have to do an election. We had four seats that were due to be vacant at the end of this season, and the elections are usually in November. This year, because of the general election, your paperwork had to be submitted earlier than normal so that the ballots could be prepared. We only had one person submit their letter of intent, so that person will be placed in that seat that she selected by acclamation. Unfortunately, that still leaves three seats open at the end of the year. But another good thing is we don't have to pay for ballots this year like we did last year. So please, we are in desperate need of your volunteer service. And if you're interested in being on the board, get those letters of intent in as soon as possible so that we can fill our board and continue to work on your behalf. We do have a couple of things that we're going to add to the agenda that I'd like to bring up under new business. So it'll be 8A. This is going to be a report from Ron Foote with ACC on some new documents that the ACC has prepared for us to consider their new forms. It doesn't require a vote, but we have asked that Ron present those to us so that you all can see and listen to what he's talking about. And second, we do have some correspondence I'm going to ask the Madam Secretary to read after my comments. The first thing that I would like to bring up is, as a reminder, and this has become an issue lately within the park, golf carts, scooters, mini bikes, and personal mobility vehicles may be operated by the registered residents and guests who are at least 18 years of age or have a valid driver's license. A registered resident who takes full responsibility, and I'm meaning financial responsibility, for compliance of these rules and regulations must always accompany anyone driving that vehicle who is underage. And we've had some instances where, and I'm so tickled that your grandchildren are here visiting, but we're allowing our grandchildren to drive the golf carts. We had an accident during our 4th of July, which involved a golf cart that had children in it. And one of the grandchildren was in the front seat behind the wheel, in the lap of the grandparent. We've also had an incident where I was driving out at 10:30 p.m. the other night, and I saw a golf cart with a young child driving it in the dark.
Oh.
It is very, very unsafe, and we're more concerned for the health and well-being of the child. If your golf cart gets wrecked and you choose to take on that responsibility, that's your responsibility. But if we have an injury of a child or someone, then that becomes a serious issue. So please consider the grandchild, consider the children, and consider the other people's properties that may be damaged as a result. Also, as a reminder, nothing is to be placed in the mailboxes for any of the members of the Board of Trustees unless it's passed through the office personnel first. Because of the Sunshine Laws, any documentation that's given must be recorded and kept for a matter of record. So we're asking that you please make certain that either Kathy or Lori or whomever is behind the counter gets that document, marks it, received, and then they process it properly for placement. That's all I have. Would you please read the correspondence, Madam Secretary?
I sure will. It says, Dear Board of Trustees, we had a park picnic yesterday and entertained and fed over 130 people. This function went well and with a lot of help from Jose and AJ. Jose clocked out at the end of his shift and came back to help in the kitchen. At the end, AJ helped with a lot of cleanup. These two guys need a commendation from Jackie and I. They were an immense help, especially towards the end when we were tired and dragging. They were both very much appreciated. We'd like a copy of this letter put in their files. Gratefully, Rebecca Ernest and Jackie Tower.
That letter has been placed in both of their personnel files, and I personally thank each and every one of them for their help and support. I think that they deserve a definite pat on the back because they both went above and beyond for that function, and I appreciate them tremendously. Moving on, is there any other correspondence, Madam Secretary?
No.
All right, moving on to item 6, approval of the minutes for the meeting from June 27, 2022. The board has been given copies of their minutes. May I entertain a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from June 27, 2022.
I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented by Joan. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
That's been seconded by Mark. Any additional questions or concerns regarding?
Yes. Under old business, it says to fill vacant first chairman seat, and that seat was not vacant. We need to put something in there as to why we rescinded the motion when Dave was elected to appointed to first chair seat, not correctly. We did do that, and then put in about the nomination for Dave, but it was not vacant, and it needs to be, because if somebody goes back before and sees that he was already, they're going to question, why are we doing it again? It needs to be clarified.
So you want me to say that the seat that we rescinded the last motion and put the date of the meeting and say that we...
Yeah, because we did rescind that. We made a motion and so forth to rescind that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Didn't that seat become vacant when Kay Allen resigned on the 21st of June?
Yes, it did. But I think the clarification is important because what we had done, remember, is we filled the position in error.
Right.
When Ms. Allen was serving as acting chairman. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the seat was not vacant at that point in time. So we placed him in that position in error. So the rescinding vote to remove him from that position because it was done in error should be noted in the record that it was rescinded. And then when she vacated the position, it then became a legal option that we could place him.
Right.
Okay.
It does state June 13, 2022, regular meeting, Joan Okonero, and if I mispronounce your name, I'm sorry, Joan, made a motion to first rescind the motion that appointed David Curtis to first vice chairman at the May 23rd meeting, workshop meeting, and then approve the minutes for June 13, seconded by Becky. So that motion was made and seconded. So it's in here that we rescinded it. And where the vote carried 7-0.
Where?
I'm reading it on page 2 under approval of minutes. It's in the paragraph that says June 13th. So it is noted there that we rescinded the motion.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. And it was approved. So it's okay. Placed there. But do you want it?
I don't care if it, I didn't realize that we had done that on June
3rd. I didn't remember that we had done that at that meeting. It should be clarified in this one why we're doing it again.
Okay. Just a notification and then just clarification is all she's asking for, Joan.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got another request on, what are we on? Page 4, I think, or 3, 4, where we had the trustee comments. We had the update on Keith Richer. I have been asked to put in the address of the property that Keith is going to dispose of. And that would be the 1056 Maple Court. So I'll make that correction too.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else? Any other comments, concerns by the board? All right. Hearing none, I am going to call for the question. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes with the noted corrections, please signify by raising your right hand. I don't see any negative votes at this time. I see nothing but affirmative. So it has
7 yes, 0 no.
It has carried. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the special meeting of June 28th, 2022. Can I entertain a motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the 6/28/22 meeting.
Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
I'm sorry, who seconded, please?
Yes, I second the motion.
Thank you, Gary. There has been a motion to accept and a motion to set a second place, please, for records for the June 28th, 2022 meeting. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of approval of the minutes, please signify by raising your right hand. Anyone disapprove? Seeing none, the vote carries 7-0. Under old business, the first item up was the report for the search of our DM. And that was done before we made the offer. But so you know, again, thank you, Miguel Garcia, for being here this evening. Today was his first day, and I can guarantee you it's been a challenging, trying day. I am so glad that he's still smiling and he's still here.
I haven't run away yet. It was entertaining today. I did have an opportunity to tour the entire property. It was wonderful. The trustees have been nothing but gracious to me and wonderful in providing me the information I need to essentially succeed here. I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of folks here as well within the property. Been nothing but delightful and wonderful. And I hope to meet every single one of you again in the future. Obviously, there'll be some challenges ahead, but I can promise that we'll work diligently to get all these issues resolved or anything that's going to come in the future. So thank you very, very much for having me.
Yes, sir.
Going back a couple of months, I expressed some concern that I was relaying from residents, and I guess I had some too, about having any members of the 4 year ago committee, search committee, be on the new committee. I'll tell you right now, I was wrong. The two members that were on the committee, again, Jack Emmerich and Becky, were instrumental in the success of the committee. Their experience helped us to end up with a wonderful success of finding Miguel and using Crawford Thomas as our headhunter company. So their experience proved out, as Mark pointed out, that we need to work together And we did, and the majority of the board was correct, and I was wrong to think we would be better off without him.
Thank you.
Item two under old business is an update on the lawn maintenance bids. Dave Curtis, do you have anything for us tonight?
Yep. Can you all hear me? Okay, hang on to your hats here, because this, I'm going to do this briefly and verbally because my eyes aren't good. And we're going to start off with a couple of the companies. We have three that posted bids. They're pretty wacky, I got to tell you. The first one had bid on this park once before, prior to, well, I don't know, before I got here, I wasn't even aware that they had put in a vote or a bid, excuse me. Their bid topped in. This is Myers Lawn Service out of Melbourne. They topped in at, are you ready for this? $430,000, which equated down to $35,866 a month. So needless to say, I'm going to put that one over there. The next one that comes up is called Motivated Lawn Services. And with Motivated, they offer us a number of services that we can weigh in on if we need them. But the lawn care amount come to, let me find this exactly here. Thought I had it right in front of me.
Page three.
Is it on page three, Carol?
Yeah, page three, second paragraph.
Oh, there we go. My eyes aren't that good. They come in with a total of $24,250 per month. Okay. Big difference between Myers and here. Now this, I happen to personally know this guy and I called him. I didn't know where he stood as far as bidding processes go. He's a pretty big outfit for a young guy. It's below 30 years old. He does lawn care. He has a painting company. He has a number of different things going on in different businesses that we can play on. And he is willing to come in at a later date and discuss and tell you what he can do and what he will be doing if he is accepted as the bid. In fact, I may have him come in just to make a presentation as a whole, you know, for you guys. So I think he came in at, like I said, Carol, I can't see it, 220. The amount was, I think, 224,000. Does anyone see that number on here?
Dave, is that for 44 cuts a year, which would be the equivalent of 10 months?
Yeah, these guys work at different schedules. Now, just so you'll know, we have a dead period with the grass and so forth. Where they don't need to be cutting. And we have found out through the process that too much cutting is not good for our grass. Yeah, well, they've cut us down, so thank God for the rain. We've got to allow this grass to set in and grow. And we have that dormant period. And doesn't mean that they're not going to come in and mow if we don't need it. They will come in as needed during the period and work on things. They also do mulching, painting. I mean, if we needed the lights post painted and all the stuff, they'll do this stuff as a separate contract. But they're available. They have the equipment. I don't know how many in here shop Aldi's, but that complex where Aldi's is, they just painted that and redid all that up for them. Bright bunch of guys. They do well. Let me move on to the next kid. I say kid, I'm an old man. BNC. I didn't originally start this with BNC. Kay had done this and brought them into the park. I went around with them in the initial, and they were told some stuff that they shouldn't have been told and stuff that they needed to know that they didn't. They put in a bid that was extremely low. And I looked it over very carefully, and I called the kid back up, or the owner, and said, you need to come back in and reinspect the park. Your bid is not even in the ballpark. And I did this knowing that the kid couldn't make any money and he couldn't survive at that price, just based on basic numbers. And I think he was somewhat new to the bidding process. So he did come back in, and he has sent me an updated quote of $216,000. Now, again, he is willing to come in and sit down and explain what he's going to do for us in a meeting. And we can go from that point. And this is something I'll set up. We've got until October to get this done. And I don't want to rush into anything that's going to cause us heartache and grief. Now, let's move on to the other side of this coin. In-house mowing. Okay. That is going to be a situation that we really are going to have to look at. We have got quotes from two lawnmower companies only. One refused to give us a bid because of bad blood from the past. And I'll go back and reiterate, this park does not have good relations with the outside businesses. So this particular guy, I had to drag a bid out of him. And he was gracious enough to give me two. This is on equipment that we're going to need to do this park if we do it ourselves. And I'll kind of run through this quickly for you. We are going to need four mowers. We are going to need seven trimmers. We're going to need a couple of blower packs. We're going to need a couple of edgers. And it's going to be pricey. However, if we stay to the top end of the equipment on the initial investment, we can do very well with this. But we've also got to have six guys to work the crew. And with working the crew, we entail other expenses in the payroll per person will run us about $622 per person per week. So that's $622 times six, then the times four. But when we get to that 2 month period where it was dormant and the grass isn't going, we can use them for other things. We can use them for Christmas lights, mulching, tree trimming, on and on and on. Whatever the guys need to have them do. And Dwayne is kind of the know and go-to guy on the outside lawn service. And he was with me on this estimate. I'm sorry, Ron was with me on this estimate. And Dwayne was with me on another one. Those numbers equate to, with the equipment, and let me give you the prices on the equipment. Top of the line on Gravely equipment, will run a $61,000. I take that back. I'll go 62 because we'll round it off. All the equipment that we had prior to doing it, you know, prior to this, has been sold off, and it was sold off on the cheap. This equipment that I'm looking at is top of the line grade equipment. This particular one is Gravely. Now, on Gravely, like I said, the guy was gracious enough to give us two. We can drop down to 54 and be really safe. It would be something that a fleet would use. Where we're doing it ourselves, he gave us both, because if we really want top of the line with the least amount of headaches, the 61 is what they're recommending. I say if we're going to look at this at all, 54.8 with this particular dealer. The other dealer is right down the road here at across Babcock, Eastside Mowers. Same amount of equipment, different brand. Theirs is the Toros, and they come in at 38,464. Now, on that 38,464, or any of these amounts, there's no tax. We're tax exempt, so we save some money there. Especially, well, I think the guy from Gravely, he quoted high end $61,434.85. The same thing on the medium price one at 54. We take 35,85.72 off that. So that drops us down at about 50,000. The rest of the companies that I looked at have horrendous records on their equipment. If we're going to look at this thing seriously, we need to be up there in top grade fleet quality stuff. I'm even using this grade equipment. They're all trying to do the cheap. They break down. We have problems with them. However, with a little bit of talking around, Motivated and B&A do have top line equipment. So this is just some of the things that we're running into that we really have to research. And we also need to look at liability insurance, because they are working on equipment, and what rate are we going to come in at on the liability? We don't know for sure yet. We're waiting for something to come through. I believe Laurie said that will give us a better look at those numbers. So that all has to add in. So that's kind of where we're at right now on lawn stuff. But I have gone over personally with each one of the mowing companies and have told them some of the problems that we've run into and what we really need to address. Now, that being said, I got to take you to another point. In researching all this stuff, we found out, we have become lax, for lack of a better term, the homeowner's responsibility to the lawns. Okay, especially when it comes to trimming and the edging and so forth, especially the trimming and the skirting. The homeowner is responsible for trimming around and maintaining a 6-inch space between the grass and their home. Now, they can either put down some type of paver block or something, or they spray Roundup so the grass doesn't grow. If you don't do this, the lawn companies are not going to stand liable. It is our park rule, and we've got to follow it. And we've got to maintain what the rules say. If we don't do this, it's just going to get all out of hand again, which it has already done. And I'm not defending the current lawn guys, because we sure as heck had our share of problems with them. But if a homeowner does not maintain this, and their skirts get hurt for some reason or another, because some guy on the crew didn't really pay attention to the rules, it's on you. It's on me. It's on anybody that owns a piece of property in there. So that's another point that we have to look at. And it's like I was saying, this thing is not going to be an easy run. $250,000 basically in the air, whether we do it ourselves or we hire in. But I want to get a little bit more information, and then I'd like to pull a couple of special meetings, one with one company or one in the morning, one in the afternoon type thing, and let you hear directly from them what they want to do. They have ideas of their own on how to handle some of the problems that we've been facing in here. Like some people want to mow their own lawns. All we got to do is mark these homes and the mowers won't go near them. I mean, what they call, I hate to use the term, crack grass, in the streets and along the ends of the driveways and stuff like that, that haven't been taken care of. These guys say they'll do. They say this is appalling. It should have been done day one with the other companies. I never thought about it. I don't think anybody else had. Little things like this that can be addressed and would be addressed by some of these guys is worth its weight in gold, because I know what the price of Roundup is. And they say they carry it right with them and as they go, at least once a month, if not more. So these are just a few of the small things that we're facing. So when I get more on it, I'll let you know. And quickly, we know nothing more on the front gate drainage. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Carol, talking the equipment, as far as us considering getting our own equipment, who do we have that would perform maintenance on that type of thing? We hire people to, if we hired employees to do the mowing and the trimming and all that, who are we going to have do the upkeep of the equipment?
Okay, on that end of it, good question. The guys that we have, our maintenance guys, are aware of how to do this, changing blades, changing oil. Mechanically, if you do this, just do what you want, but I wouldn't own them, not here in the South. If we were in Nebraska or Ohio or wherever, where the weather was cool and dry, it worked fine. Down here, we have problems with them. But both places close by, we're not driving to, I believe it was Jody, us doing it, let me put it that way. There was an $800 difference between Titusville and the dealer here in Palm Bay. And come to find out, he took Titusville, and they were driving up there for $800 for minor maintenance. And it went on and on and on, which again did not leave a good. We be pains. And a lot of them really
they go through the marketplace. Thank you. I never remember that. And they look to see what they get for insurance. And then this bonus would cover. However, the board needs to decide on, do we want to go with a set value of $100, $200, 10%? 80%, or do we just want to consider when we hire somebody of looking at what the insurance is going to be and maybe pay them a little more in their weekly pay or their hourly wage and say you need to cover your insurance. The two people that we had that were covering, the administrative assistant, she's retiring the end of July. And the other one as our gate supervisor. And we just gave him a fairly nice raise and it more than covers what his insurance is and still would give him more than a 3% raise, which other employees would be getting in October should the board vote to, you know, give everyone a 3% raise or however the board decides to do that. Personally, I'm leaning towards when we hire somebody, we just say, look, we can't offer the health insurance. We can help you, but we're going to do it in the means of paying you an extra dollar or whatever, an hour, but you need to have your own insurance coverage rather than saying we're going to do $100 for everybody every month. I just think we should consider it so that we don't have this come up against this again. So say we do hire our own at some point, and now we get up to 8 employees where we now have insurance. Well, the insurance we had that we offered was much, much more than what people would be paying through the marketplace. So personally, I just feel we should say, look, this is how we'd like to do it, but the board needs to make a decision as to what they do, and I'll just open it up to discussion.
I have a question.
All right, let's start with Becky and then we'll go down for Vincent had his hand up.
Wouldn't that the insurance on different people be different amounts? If you just gave them an increase in the pay or whatever, you're going to have some employees that are at a different rate than the others, and you know they talk. And they're going to say, well, why do you get 5 cents more an hour than I do or 10 cents or whatever it happens to be?
I just think that might be an issue, but I don't know. I'm only one person on the board, and I just have questions.
Well, of course, it's based on not just the age, but it's based on what their wage is.
Right. And their
right. Whether or not they're a smoker,
right.
Should do a percentage. We've done percentages in the past. That's what we were doing up until maybe a year or 2 years ago. And then the board decided, well, we're willing to pay 100% for our employees' health insurance. I really don't think we should be doing that. I'll get them. It's my, I'll tell them. It's my family.
I would like to. Excuse for a moment so I can deal with that.
His family.
Oh, all right, never mind. Thank you. We're going to take just a brief moment until he can walk back in because I'd like for him to be here to respond to our questions. So if you need to step up and go to the restroom or something, please feel free to do so while we're waiting for Mr. Bowden to return. Do you have permission?
Thank you.
Can I,
lady? Let's just remain some a little decorum, please. Yes, ma'am.
I'll just remind everybody that we've got a ladies' lunch on Wednesday. It's a brown bag lunch. We also are providing dessert, and we have we also have no fee for the bingo. So if you haven't signed up, you still can sign up and please come.
Okay.
12:30 Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Voda. We're glad you're back. Gary Vincent had a question for you next.
As we go to make any changes in the health insurance that or how much Holiday Park pays, we do need to change the employee manual. Because it currently says Holiday Park will pay the full amount of the insurance premium, which was used to be able to be purchased with a group plan. We're a long ways away from qualifying from a group plan right now. We'll be down to one at the end of the month. So, I had an idea that similar to the park's requirement, I hate to remind everybody, but when an employee turns 65, we require they apply for Medicare. And we no longer pay anything towards the health insurance according to our employee manual. So maybe, this is a thought, because it's been drastically improved over the last 6 months going forward permanently. The Affordable Care Act subsidies and income limits has been drastically improved. The subsidies roughly doubled the income levels for qualifying hasn't doubled, but they've raised it. And ballpark, it's about 500 and something a month for a single person. That was reflected in the temporary measure we were able to enjoy with the help of Karen Foote doing the research and an insurance lady that come up with numbers. And it is drastically affected by age. Derek's insurance after the ACA federal tax credit is around $100, whereas Lori's was $590 or something. So there's a significant difference. We may need to require full-time employees to apply on healthcare marketplace, find out what the subsidy is for themselves, not their whole family, but themselves. And then the board could decide once they find out what the, the board needs to decide of what would become out of pocket, how much would Holiday Park be willing to contribute to that? And it should probably be a percentage. For example, what we're doing right now with Lori and Derek is basically giving them a bonus check for what's left out of pocket. So we're still covering 100% after the federal tax credit. we might not want to be quite as generous as to cover everything left over, because I've never in my life worked anywhere where they paid for 100% of my health insurance. And very few, no one has said this.
I have.
No, you have? Well, you've had a really good job. Or it's been a while. I'm not sure. But maybe we need to require full-time employees to apply for, to see what can they qualify for. And then whatever would be there out of pocket, Holiday Park can pay a percentage of that rather than 100% automatic.
I agree that we need to change the personnel policy manual. However, it doesn't apply anymore because we can't offer insurance.
I'm not talking about, well, you mentioned we can help. Well, we can still help. We don't have to go from 100% to no help, but why not take advantage like everyone else can out there that isn't fully employed in big companies that offer them health insurance on a group plan and they pay whatever out of a payroll deduction. It's usually 50 to 80% the companies pay and an employee pays 20 to 50%. Of their own. If you're working for a good company, they might even offer the same type of split with your spouse and your children. The better the company, the more they're willing to pay. Usually defense contractors offer a lot, or government agencies like Brevard County or something like that. But we won't get many good full-time employees if we contribute nothing. I don't think anybody wants to go to nothing, but we don't want to be overly generous. And why not take advantage of the average $500 plus a month that Uncle Sam's willing to give people as long as they're not pulling in tremendous money? I mean, it's Gary, there.
They don't have a choice. We cannot offer insurance.
Right.
So the only way they're going to get insurance is by going through the marketplace.
Right.
I'm only saying that because of what we had done in the past, we were continuing through this fiscal year, but as of October, I wanted to change it. I didn't want to be paying somebody a bonus going into their pay, disguising it, and because we can't call it insurance. Right. And I'm just saying the board needs to decide, how do we want to handle it? I'm open. I've given my opinion as to what I think. I feel that when a person comes here and we're going to hire them, we sit down with them, we explain, we cannot offer insurance. If you want insurance, you have to get the insurance on your own. And of course, it's going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then we basically say, okay, this is what we're willing to do. We'll pay you a couple extra bucks an hour, or we'll pay a percentage. Mm-hmm. And it's left at that.
Right.
I'd like to make a suggestion, and you guys can think about this. I know that Ms. Joan, Madam Secretary, is currently looking at our employee manuals and hoping to update it because they're outdated quite severely. Having worked for the federal government, one of the things that we had to do when we were hired by the government was sign a document that says that you don't discuss your payroll with anybody other than personnel or your boss, which would be our new district property manager, Mr. Garcia. I think they should sign a document that states that your time and your payroll is your business and nobody else's. You don't discuss it. That's reason for termination. If we have an employee that needs insurance and we're going to pay them a rate for their insurance, not insurance, but their health manager, and that employee and the board. And it should not be discussed with any other employee. If the employees are doing that, then they're breaking the rules, and that's reason for termination. That might be something to consider that we place in there. And if we choose to move forward and offer this special pay that we may offer them, if we offer it, if indeed that's what we do, then it should be kept private between the employer and the employee, and not amongst the employees. Because if the employees are discussing their pay, then they're breaking our rules. That's just a thought.
Carol.
Yes, ma'am.
The only problem with that is our meetings are all open. We discuss what we're paying them. We discuss what their raises are. I mean, so it's all public information anyway.
Yeah, you got that. I'm sorry. You're correct. I apologize. I'm just trying to think of a way to keep them from discussing too. But you're right. It is very open. Mr. Curtis.
I just kind of run this through my head. It sounds like the percentage is the best way to go.
Yeah.
We decide on a percentage that we're going to put out. And whatever they come up with is their problem. And I hate to use it that way, but it becomes on the problem is theirs as far as insurance goes. What is the best price they can come up with? Then we'll pay a portion of it. If we try to get into dollars and cents per person, it's going to be a nightmare. If we say we're going to give a percentage above whatever they can get out of the program, then we're pretty much safe. And everybody's different. If you're a smoker, you're going to be a different price. If you're something, if you're blue eyes, you got another price. If, you know, whatever it may be. But percentage seems a solid way to be in the ballpark on everybody.
I agree.
I think the percentage is a good idea. I'm thinking the biggest concern that Mr. Boda is being faced with is how we put it in our records, because we cannot put it in our records as insurance, regardless of what we pay, whether it's 100%, 10%, or 20%. It cannot go into our financial records as insurance because we cannot offer insurance. So that's your dilemma, correct?
Correct. And another thing to keep in mind is there's different levels of coverage. There's
correct.
Mm-hmm. Silver, gold, platinum, whatever. Right. So a person decides they want to get the highest package and we're going to pay. You know what right. I'm saying? So,
oh, yeah.
You know, you could have a person that says, well, I'm going to get the platinum because they're going to pay this percentage. So I'm going to get
right.
The,
well, just but pay.
Not, but just remember, we cannot offer insurance. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about insurance. That's why I said, if you want to offer them a little bit extra to cover their insurance, we're not covering their insurance because we can't. We cannot offer insurance. We're discussing it here as though we're paying for insurance. We're not.
We cannot
offer insurance.
No, but you can find out what it is. And go through and ask, and then tell them that we will give them, say, 75 or 80% of that in the form of additional wages, not for insurance. And then if they don't use it on the insurance, that's their responsibility.
Well, then I would say, if you're going to do that for me, I'm going to tell you that I'm getting the highest plan, but then
no,
it
would just be based on the basic.
Well, that's.
Find out what
Karen, can you please go ahead and speak what you need to say, and then I'll make the comment.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. The most expensive basic plan that we found out when we met with the insurance company is $100 a month per employee. So what Mark is trying to get to is we need someone to say we will give you $1,200 on top of your salary for you to cover your own insurance. We don't cover insurance. That's what we're looking for. Something to say, we'll give you $1,000, like Gary, he wants to do a percentage. I'm just using you as an example.
Sure.
$1,000 a year on top of what we offered your salary for you to go out and get your own insurance. That's what we're looking for. We don't want, like, we can't mention insurance at all.
That's correct.
That's but that's correct. When you guys interview. You're going to say, like Miguel, to say a basic most expensive plan is $100 a month if they get that stipend from the federal government, which most people will get.
Is that for a smoker even?
Sorry.
Okay. I'm just asking.
No, a smoker is $600 a month. Okay. Yeah. But a basic help person, because most of our people we hire here are under $50,000 a year. That's how much it would be, is $100. It would be the most it would be, and that's the best plan they offer at Health First.
Do we need?
Would that be a gold plan, Karen? Approximately?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's gold. They don't offer platinum to anybody over the.
Right.
You got to be an employer.
Right. The ACA doesn't have platinum plans. Nope. They have gold, silver, and bronze. And your numbers are really accurate. And so $100 a month,
Madam,
is not a lot, but that's after the tax credit of about $500 a month. $500 out of the six, Uncle Sam will cover. So that would leave us to only be facing $100 a month for an average employee. If they're older, it could be a little more, whatever. But
Madam Chair, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, ma'am.
How about if we get a couple people together and come up with some wording for discussion rather than just asking, you know, point blank, or for us to make a decision, but to come up with some wording to what you think you need and then present that to the board.
I'm not quite sure what you're asking for. You want someone to come up with how to present it or what to say to present
it? What to say and the wording for it.
Mr. Boda? I don't think we need a committee. I think what we need is we just need to brainstorm some thoughts. I would like to have Mark and Karen, would you be willing to talk with Mark on this? Because you've looked into it. And also Mark and Karen and Mr. Garcia as the new district property manager, so that he's on the same page as to what we offer, because he's going to be doing the hiring of our new employees when we do hire, but that the terminology is correct and they're all on the same page. If you guys wouldn't mind talking about this a little bit and then bringing your wording to the next meeting so that we can place it before the board for the proper discussion.
When you say terminology, you're speaking as what we would say to a perspective
insurance. I think what we need to do is we need to put it into our personnel manual, how we place it in. Are we offering him the incentive of not $15 per hour, but $17 per hour? We need to word that so that it's in the manual properly, because we cannot put it in there as insurance. I think that would be the decision. That would be something that Mr. Garcia should be involved with, because he is going to be the one hiring our new resident employees. And it just needs to be worded properly so that we all understand it. Yes, ma'am.
We could do something like, because we don't want to mention insurance at all.
That's correct.
And we could tell people that when we hire them, if you're here for 6 months, we'll give you a $600 bonus. And you can use it for whatever you want. You could use it for insurance. I mean, or you could say $1,200 at the end of a year. We'll give you a bonus. You work 12 months full time, we'll give you a $1,200 bonus. That's $100 a month. And they get it in one lump sum. They can go buy Christmas presents with it, or they can buy insurance with it. But I mean, it makes us feel better because we're helping them out one way or another.
But if you give that to them at the end of the year, they've gone a whole year without.
Well, that's why I'm saying we can break it up monthly. Say, you know, we'll give you $300 every 3 months, so we'll give you 600, you know, but yeah. Call it, you know, we're going to give you an incentive to stay with us, you know, give you $300 bonus at the end of 3 months, or give you a $600 bonus at the end of six.
I
thought we
I
didn't
see
want to be a bonus.
I don't see that one working. And the reason I'm saying that is giving you would do that to any employee to give them the incentive to stay. If you're going to do that kind of an incentive, it's not. I don't see that one working.
And
I
mean, that's like, just getting around the word. It should be a part of the hourly package.
Yeah.
Yes, but ma'am. Tony Beatty, 127 Holiday, any of this monies that you're talking about giving them as a bonus, they're going to end up paying taxes on. You
yes,
have
ma'am.
To remember that. So actually, if you're saying you're going to give them $100, maybe they're only going to get 70 of that because it's going to throw them into a higher tax bracket or make them pay more taxes. So you have to consider that too.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It's a convoluted issue. I don't know how we're going to resolve it to word it properly and to best suit our future employees and our current employees. But I think that if Mr. Boda and Ms. Foote and Mr. Garcia can work together to come up with the right terminology and the right idea and then present it to us again, it will move forward.
Right.
So thank you, Mark, for bringing it up. And I'm sorry we didn't resolve it tonight, but hopefully we will at our next meeting. And I need to apologize to Mark Boda. Like a turkey bird, I had a blonde moment and failed to put the treasurer's report on the agenda. So, Mr. Boda, do we need to present your treasurer's report this evening, please? Did I not fail to do it? Oh, God, I'm definitely having a blonde moment.
Treasurer's report is done the second meeting of the month. Me.
I know I'm drinking water, you guys, I promise. It was just... This was in my basket, and I wanted to make sure I didn't goof off and not do something properly for you folks.
And hopefully, Ms. Bell will help me so that we can put that up on that screen.
We're going to figure it out.
Diane, please. Thank you. All right, we're going to go on under new business, and I thank you for your time while listening to that discussion. Mr. Foote, would you like to come forward and present your documents to us this evening?
Yeah, Ron Foote, 214 Holiday Park. What we did is we consolidated some of the ACC stuff and brought it forward onto our forms so that instead of, you know, leaving it on the homeowner or new owner on these trailers and stuff, or mobile homes, excuse me, to go through the book and figure out what they're supposed to do. We haven't changed any of the rules or any of the regulations. All we did was bring it up to date on the application so they know up front that this is what they got to do. So on the install, we left it all the same until you get to the back. And we changed it. And I read this over 3 or 4 times today. Yep. What we did is we put in there about the having to have an ACC, the permit and the process of getting the ACC permit and what's required as far as insurance, the surveys, the contractor's license. And also the fact that they can't move in until the carport and shutter in and they have the occupancy permit. They can get the occupancy permit before they get the carport and shut in, and that's not the way the park is run. They have to have to follow the deed restrictions and the ACC, they have to have the shed and the carport in. And that's what we did that over on 427 there. We had that big problem with that house over there and they couldn't move into the shed and carport we're at. So that's why we changed that. We just bring it up to date, up front to everybody. Go ahead.
Ron, a lot of these carports and sheds are taking months to get the equipment or to get, I mean, can we be a little flexible on that?
Oh, we have been flexible on it. And some of the contractors that said they wouldn't work in here, it's not they won't work with us, is they're out of business. So that's not my fault. It's not the homeowner's fault. And we have, but what we're trying to do is moving forward, because we got more mobile homes coming in, that this is a requirement. So it has to be done before you move in. And the problem isn't not having the materials. It's the contractors not having the workers to do the stuff. And we've
somebody has the order and it's lined up and they have the certificate of occupancy from the city and the contractor is lined up and the stuff is ordered, you would let them move in?
With a reasonable amount of time, yes. Now, they haven't moved in yet, and they got most of the landscape around the carport, the driveway has been done, and they're just waiting now for the final inspection from the city because they're still doing some work themselves inside. And we just thought this would make it more clear for the homeowner when they're going to be building a new house or new building in here, just to clarify things so they can't say, well, I didn't know about it. Now they'll know about it. That was our thought on that.
Okay. Well, and if they know about it, they're going to make sure that their contractor is aware of it too.
Right. That's the whole thing is, you know, contractors, he sits back. He doesn't always have one of our About Us books to look at. And this way, when he signs the paper for the install paperwork for the application, it's spelled right out on it for him. Right. And that's why we wanted to do that. Do you have any other questions on that?
Yes. As we all know, we had 9 properties go on the market, all had to be demolished. Finally, the county moved on it, and the 9 properties hit the market all at once. There were another 3 that weren't in that group, so we were up to a dozen. There's 6 more on the radar right now that I'm aware of. And the tax certificate buying program that Diane Bell and Bruce are on have been scrutinizing and trying to make sure that they protect the park's best interest by buying the right certificates on potential problem properties. This park never had a dozen properties needing to be demolished all at once, except for after the 04 hurricane, when there were 3 dozen approximately that needed massive amounts of work. So a major problem existed in the park that over the course of the last 14 months is being addressed by these people that are for agreed on price. That includes squaring up on our assessment, which we're not owed any of it, squaring up on taxes, public utilities with Palm Bay, and probably NFPL balance. For 20-something thousand, and they put out about 3-plus thousand to demolish it. They put out who knows what on a brand-new home. And most of the owners have sold the property, so they're in the position to start laying out all this cash, and they're renting. And they're also oftentimes storing excessive furniture because they're not renting quite as big a home or whatever as this. So these property owners, and there's a dozen of them, are solving a major problem in this park, spending more money than anybody has ever spent to live in Holiday Park by a mile. And what we're suggesting perhaps is that we force them to continue to rent a temporary place and a storage unit until their carport and utility room is completed, even though they have a COC in their brand new home. Now, if you're lucky and you pick a good contractor who gets a job done quick, you can get in 2-3 months after, you know, your home's ready to start building the carport. If you're not lucky, could take you 6-8 months, maybe more. Meanwhile, it's costing a couple $1,000s a month to rent off site. You sit there and yeah, you can go look at your new home. You can walk in it. You can put a couple of things in there, but you can't sleep there. I think it's unfair, and I think we need to be compassionate to these new homeowners that are helping Holiday Park to solve the biggest problem that existed here 15 months ago, 18 months ago. These delinquent homes that are so bad, they need to be demolished. They're doing it for us. We need to work with them, not force them out. Now,
I think you're wrong, Gary.
Well,
because I know of the people know, the people know in advance. That's why we're doing this form. What they have to have, if they want to buy a house in here, these are our rules. That's why I call it a deed restricted community. Right. And we need to follow the rules, and we have to, yeah, we have let three of them in here without their carports and sheds.
Right.
So we have been lenient on it. Good. This is to prevent it in the future. We have, I know, two more that are wanting to be taken out, mm-hmm. and it's their problem and how they sell their house on the outside. Our parks should not be responsible for their financial problems. Well, it has nothing to do with our park. Let's get it up and run it and have it done the way it should be.
Well, Ron, I'd like to cite a couple of examples of your compassion, okay? One letter failing to comply with those letters should have resulted in a second letter.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please.
To my knowledge, no second letter went out for 3 to 4 months because they couldn't get in the country in various situations. So you exercised great compassion and held off on second letter, third letter, whatever. You just worked out a good deal on a nightmare property over there at around 340 something Holiday Park that a guy bought that should never have bought at all because he's already an income property owner in here. Previous management apparently signed off on it. It got to the title company. He closed. You had a stop work order on it, but you worked out a deal with him. There's the only way it could be resolved. He wanted 3 months to fix it up. You knew that might not be enough. You gave him 6 months, and he committed to repairing it and getting it on the market in 6 months and selling it, something he never should have bought. That was another example of your compassion, Ron. And what I'm suggesting is, could you please extend a little more compassion for these wonderful new homeowners coming in here, not to force them to continue to rent, waiting for a carport utility room?
That's their problem when they sign the contract like that. It's their problem. It's not the Holiday Park's problem. Well, they have to be more aware of what they have to do.
Right.
I mean, you don't sell your house this year with the idea that, well, I'm going to buy a park, a home in Holiday Park and have it tore out, and it's going to take me 10 months. You don't sell it now. You wait till you're closer to actually doing everything. Well, I don't think that should be our responsibility to worry about what they're doing with their money. That's not our problem.
Excuse me.
14 months ago, it didn't take as long to build a carport as it did 2 months ago. Things have changed. As the economy has picked up, we've run into supply chain and labor issues nationwide in all kinds of areas. Happens to greatly affect carports. It says here in the ACC Control Committee rules that the ACC is supposed to help the homeowners navigate the rules and regulations of all of the various rules.
That's why this is being done the way it is. It's up front.
And it says also,
gentlemen, I apologize, but we're getting off track. He came up here to present documents and forms.
Okay.
And we need to let him finish his presentation. And then if there's questions afterwards, we can ask questions. But we're not here to argue the point whether a carport should be in or shouldn't be in. What we're here to do is to look at these documents. That Chair. Argument and the compassion can be addressed on a case-by-case basis.
Could
and
be.
I know that the ACC board is capable of doing that. And if they can't do it, then it can be brought before the board of trustees on a case by case basis by the residents so that it can be addressed properly. This is not the time to have that argument. I apologize for interrupting you both, but I think we need to stay on track. Mr. Boda, did you have a question?
I was just going to say, let Ron finish.
Madam Chair, Ron asked if there were any questions, and so I began.
I understand that, Dodge. We were just getting off track. We just need to get back. The paperwork is understandable, and I understand the reasoning behind it. Again, like he said, I think is where we need to have compassion due to circumstances, and we need to look at those circumstances on a case-by-case basis. And I think the board has that compassion. I do believe you do, and I know that this board does. And we will deal with that on a case by case, incident by incident. Not each home is going to have the same issue, and not each home is going to have the same compliance. So let's move forward with your documents, please, sir.
The only other thing I got to add to that, Carol, is the fact that our park lawyer demands before they move in a carport and a shed.
Yes.
They demanded that. He's the one that we're following it. Because we have some homes in here that the carports were turned into sunrooms and they don't have a carport. And they wanted us to, Cherie wanted us to go around and tell them it wasn't fair to the homeowner that bought it after two or three other people had it enclosed to tell them, now you got to tear it out and put a carport in. So he put this in here that after so many years of having a carport that's not proper, that their grandfathered in type deal. But any new home has to have a carport and shed before they move in.
That is correct.
So, and that letter is posted on the board out there too.
Yes.
It's not just something that I'm hiding in my pocket.
Right. You're correct.
Let's go back on track. That's why we did this update on the and then the other thing. There's two pages of the violation letters. You know, the first page is for either the ACC or the trustees. When they're out driving around, they see a violation. You're going to see an address, but you're not going to see the name. So that's why we left the address the way it was on top. And then here's the checkoff list for the different things, the major things that we find when we go out inspecting. And there's also room down here for if you find something else that's against the deed restrictions or the ACC, we can add them down underneath miscellaneous violations. So then the second page looks very similar to the first one, or actually it's the third page. But this is for the office because they're supposed to be filling this stuff out and sending it in to the homeowner. And that's why we got owner's name because they can look that up in the records and they'll have the correct mailing address, whether it's here in Palm Bay or whatever state they live in, because some of the homeowners do rent their properties out year round. So this way it will go to the proper address. And then all you have to do in the office is just copy over from our inspection report and just put the check marks over here. So that should simplify it for them and hopefully it'll make it easy for everybody. And then we just tacked on the the fine system for the violations. Mike Johnson, who was on the board with us, he spent quite a bit of time investigating the Florida rules and statutes as far as the fine system. And that's why it's number 6 tells you about the fines. They can be capped at $150 per violation. And they will not exceed $1,000 one calendar year for any violations. And a phase 2 fine is a $50 fine, and phase 3 would be a $100 fine. So it's pretty much self-explanatory. Right. And I think that, and then in the back here is a page for the new mobile homes, and that's where the occupancy permit part comes in, and the certificate or the city of Palm Bay. And then the AC or the office staff needs to sign off when they get the occupancy permit. Or certificate technically, and your carport and utility room attachment shed to the rear of the carport and mobile home shall meet all ACC rules and regulations, and the ACC member must sign off when that's complete. And then the trustees sign off on any deed restrictions for that property. And we just brought up into a form so it'd be easy for everybody to read. We took it out of our book and just combined it into a easier to read form, that's all.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments in regards to his document? Do you have a comment, ma'am? All right, if you want to step forward, please.
Stacy Vincent, 1111 Seminole Court. Ron and Karen have been doing an incredible job taking care of all of the violations and things that need to be addressed in this community. But it is an unprecedented time in construction. I live in that world every day. I see all of the delays coming in, and I do hope that our community would be lenient and gracious to the people who are coming in and bringing it to another level. This isn't the 1970s. This isn't the 1980s. The units that have been sitting here that need to be demoed, that are unlivable, are being taken out. People are in good faith coming into this community. And yes, maybe they were not made aware perhaps because of the prior management people that should have been communicated. Maybe they didn't know the rules when they moved in. And we are certainly, I hope, not the kind of community that welcomes our new neighbors and our new residents into our community by putting unreasonable timeframes on when they must have something that is not essential, like plumbing and electricity and a certificate of occupancy to live in their home. Once you have a certificate of occupancy, that means you can move in. And again, it shouldn't be something where we're all at odds on it and telling people to shut up. That is not something we should be doing. If people are having situations where they've sold their home, this is wonderful for our community. Our community is getting brought up every day by people buying into it. Our values are going up and we want that. We want this community to be better than it was before. Hopefully that's what everybody wanted in the 70s and the 80s when they moved in and bought into this place. We're all moving in here in good faith and hoping for the best, hoping we can make friends, hoping we can live out our lives here, not to be moving in to a place where people are giving us a hard time, telling us we can't move in because we don't have a carport. Who doesn't want a carport in here? The sun is incredible. You can't even sit out in front of your home if you don't have a carport. A utility shed means that you have to keep everything in your house unless you're going to continue to pay for storage, or a rental house off-site when you have a nice home sitting here in this lovely community. I just wanted to say that, and it's not a thing that should be a permanent fix. Perhaps we need to just have some sort of grace period for these folks that are moving into our community to make it better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The only thing I got to see on that is I don't know how Neighborly Court was able to coordinate everything, get their carport in, their shed in, their house in, and they're still waiting for the occupancy permit. And our bylaws, or your deed restrictions like that, supersede the city on the occupancy permit. Right. That's all I got to say is we do have, and I have been lenient on, and not just me, the committee's been lenient on people, but this is to help in the future more to come in to solve this problem. And then they don't want to follow the rules.
I think one of the problems, and I think we can pretty much close with this, and this is something we've talked about multiple times, about needing to sit down with our realtors that come in to sell the properties and making sure that our realtors are presenting our deed restrictions to potential buyers. When a buyer buys a house and they're not given the information and they make that earnest money payment and they sign the contract to buy that house and they're buying that house based upon the information the realtor gave them and or didn't give them, it's not necessarily the buyer's fault that they were not told you have to have this and you have to have that before you ever move in. They're not given that information. And we need to train our realtors who are presenting the homes in here and or the lands to our potential buyers correctly. And I think that will come if we start having seminars. And that's something that hopefully our board and our new district property manager can work towards preparing and presenting. I don't think that any owner should be chastised at this point in time. And I'm asking you all to understand that I'm not criticizing our ACC and I'm not criticizing any given owner. We need to move forward in the right direction. And in order to do that is to get past what's in the past right now. We do have some homes that many of you may know that are here, and we have people living in them without carports and without storage facilities. And those options were granted prior to today by our prior district manager. We don't need to argue the point. Feelings have been hurt as a result of this, and things have been kind of let go. But from this day forward, we have our rules and we need to live by those rules. And this document here is only making those steps more viable and more understandable for the new potential buyer that may come in for that next house that needs to be demolished and pulled out and the new home comes in. So what's in the past needs to stay there, but we need to work towards a unification and a way of resolving the issues with respect for both the ACC board and respect for the property owner. What? And this paperwork will do that, will make the information more knowledgeable from the beginning so that there aren't any conflicts. And then I think as a board and with our new district manager, we can do the training for the prospective agencies that are gonna sell homes as well as the prospective buyers.
The only other thing I got is they're supposed to get approval by the park before they buy in here. That's in the rules, and that apparently hasn't been followed. And I wasn't aiming at anything that's already happened in the park. This is to move forward in the future. This wasn't trying to cover something that already happened. It's happened. We've taken care of it, and everybody's here, and it's fine. This is to make it easier. It's just trying to make it easier for the new homeowner or property owner that wants to buy in here to follow the rules, because most people won't. You don't read your car manual when you buy a new car. So why will you read the deed restrictions when you buy a house? I mean, it's that simple.
You didn't read that car manual?
I did, but I guarantee you 99% of the community that buys a car, oh, it starts, see ya. I'll be back when you need an oil change, if I bother to change the oil.
Thank you.
This is just to make it easier for everybody.
Thank you very much for presenting your documents. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe we have 4 homes in the works, in the manufacturing stage, where the demos have already occurred, land is already cleared, and the homes are being manufactured as we speak. I believe there's 4. They're going to be arriving soon. I don't know exactly. There's delays in that due to Homeland Security grabbing like 10,000 of them for all the immigrants and things like that. So there has been delays on manufacturing the homes. There's a rule that you're supposed to replace the demolished home in 90 days. Well, you can't do it. You can't get a home in 90 days. So we're stretching that. When these next 4, could even be 5 homes show up, we might need to extend our compassion. I'm suggesting that. We can't just cut it off today.
I don't think that's what he was asking us to do. But moving forward, we do need more. We need to make certain that the people that are looking at these homes understand the guidelines and the rules, because the rules are there for everyone, not just one person, but for everyone. But we need to consider them, again, as I said, case by case basis, based upon the circumstances at the time. I would like to see us follow our guidelines 100%. I think that's important. Rules are there for a reason. But there are times when we do show compassion, and that should be done on a one-on-one. That's all I need to say. So we need to work together. Yes, sir. You've never spoken before. If you'll state your name and your address.
Yes, I have. Mike Misko, 357 Holiday Park. We have the new large mobile home that was put in without a car or a shed. But you know, it's kind of what Gary's talking about. This, the time tractors to do the work. Then when you get contractors to blatantly don't want to do the work here in this park. We had that happen to us. They came in and said, we're not going to do work. And I have Tom, who is another brand new homeowner here. He can verify that from his, we had the same contractor. So all I'm saying is, you know, we intend by all means to do it in a timely manner, but because of the certain circumstances of today, it's hard to get the contractor to do the work. It's hard. They're having problems getting the employees to do the work, and it's hard to schedule the work so that it gets done. And you know, we're not out here to take advantage and not follow the rules. We're here to follow the rules, but you know, it's a sign of the time right now with this COVID and everything happening right now. And you know, and I brought this up, we talked at it many times at the ACC. You know, we want to put a carport in a shed, and so we do have a contract, and most not to violate the rules, but to follow them. It's like you said, compassion. That's all we're asking for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to speak for a moment. Mr. Miskow, has your problems as far as dealing with the boards and so forth been taken care of? Have they met your needs to get you by until this gets done?
Yeah. We have approval to hit the carport and the shed.
Okay.
We have Hausman to do the work.
Okay.
So the ICC board has been.
I guess why I'm asking this is, why are we revisiting this if you're taken care of?
Well, because to be frank, it's been kind of hard to get things done because we don't have a carport and shed. I mean,
I don't understand.
Well, you know, we had to go at first. We were denied to put a border around our property to protect our property from the weed eaters. And, you know, we have a brand new home, and we were at first disapproved, but then it was approved later. But you know what? We're being held, I feel, is you know, unfairly on some of these things. Right now, I was told that my wife and I were told that we can't do a thing in the park until we get a carport and a shed. No more.
Who told you that?
That was at the ACC board. So, but they did, you know, yes, they did eventually let us put the border, a skirt, you know, around our skirting to protect it. And,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, also I'm asking, and I'll tell you, I'll be frank with you. I have an uncle who really wanted to move into this park. He thought, man, what is a great place this is. Security, you know, I want to build a new place myself. And after, you know, hearing this type of thing, he backed out. He says, I'm not going to deal with this. And it's just something that the board needs to hear, I think. You know, now we're marching through it, and we're pushing that contractor. So, I mean.
Oh, I'd love to see your place completed and the carport on.
Me too.
And every. No, but unfortunately, it's your piece of property keeps coming up.
I know.
And I thought we had you straightened out and headed in the right direction. So we knew things were going to get done. We also knew the problems that you had, but yet now I'm concerned we're back addressing this again. I'm liaison to the board.
Right.
I was on the board. Our goal is to get people in, get them situated. We've got outside problems, starting with the realtors that we're working on. But I'm just glad that you're in here, but I don't understand why we're back dealing with this.
Is it because you need a second 90-day extension granted by the ACC so that you have the time? Because I was in the meeting when you got your first extension requested.
Yes.
It was approved, and those 90 days are over. You got a second?
We got a second. Great. One. Yeah, we got
He's
a second
gonna need
one. But
it. Good.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll work out within the 90.
But, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't a nice, smooth process to hit that second extension. It did eventually come, but you know, all I'm saying is we're asking both boards to be compassionate and think about the new and the sign of the times. Yeah, I agree with the rules that are proposed, but it's a case by case basis. You know, I really believe that. So, okay.
Thank you for your presentation. We have another statement.
Diane Russo, 1158 Center. Couldn't the homeowners ask these builders to give them a letter stating there will be a delay, blah, 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 blah? This way you don't have to keep harassing the homeowner. If they could just get a letter. So the guy says, well, we can't get supplies, we can't get workers, and that would cover the homeowner without harassing them.
That's a good idea. Thank you very much.
Life matter, we trust them. And if we contact them as the board of AC, as done in the past, they've lied to us there. So it becomes the old catch 22, round and round we go. That's one of the things that we fight constantly.
I want to thank you all again for your comments on that. We have kind of gotten off track. We were basically just talking about these documents. I'm going to let you speak in just a second. I do want to move on to public comment. This is where you can make your comments at this point in time. We have gotten off track of that topic, so we want to move forward. So I'd like to open the floor to public comment. You're more than welcome to come up.
Teresa Linton, 1042.
Teresa, can you pull that up a little bit? We can't hear you. Mm-hmm.
1042 Moonlight Court. My home is coming in probably next week.
Yay!
Yes, but I have contract with Houseman. I've given them close to $5,000 down to order, and materials are 4 to 6 months out. And that's what I'm going to tell you. I am going to be in the same boat as them. I'm paying rent on a house. I'm paying my mortgage right now. My house is under contract. I'm paying almost $300 a month in storage, and I'm going to want to move in my home. So I will be coming to ask you for your grace to help me move in my home when it's time, when it's complete. I've done all the pre-work. I've signed contracts to get my carport and shed, but there's 4 to 6 months backlog lead time on the materials. It's Houseman's. They're a very reputable aluminum company in our county. They've been around for many, many years, but they cannot get the material. And I'm putting on an 18-foot driveway, carport, shed. It's going to be beautiful, but I can't do it tomorrow. I'm so I'm gonna be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Pietka, did you have something to say?
Stadium trustees, my name is Dennis Pietka at 396 Holiday Park Boulevard. I have two complaints. I didn't go to the front office yet. I thought I'd throw it out at the trustees. One has to do with the green space in back of my mobile. So you got 396 and 394, and there's an area that protrudes out into the green space. And I looked at it on yesterday, Sunday, and it was about 7 feet wide, 100 feet long. Never been touched. I've been here 24 years, and I watched this grow. Now we have snakes in there, a couple of raccoons, there's a log laying down on the ground, hollowed out, and they're in there. And I seen a rabbit, and I want to know why it hasn't been cleaned up. Secondly, I don't know how to go on this. I have a neighbor at 398. She refuses to rake. She's a single mom, autistic son with a dog. And I questioned her about a month ago, are you going to rake? Because we're in an area loaded with trees. And she says, I don't do raking. I says, okay. The previous owner and I, we worked together and we kept our yards clean. There's a sidewalk of blocks against her mobile. You can't even see them. And in the back, she has, I'm going to call it garbage, on the west side, loaded with furniture that's been sitting out there for a year. And I want to know what I should do.
What I'm going to ask you to do, and this is how we handle our complaints, I need you to write a formal complaint and sign it and make certain that you get a copy of it for your records, have the girl date stamp it in the office so that it can be addressed by the board, and we can do the inspection off of the complaint, and we can go out there and we can start addressing the issues.
All right, if I go and fill that out, where does it go from there?
It's going to come into the office.
Right.
Okay, the office is going to make a copy of it for you, and then that complaint is going to come to me. And I don't want to. Behind your house without your so with
no,
that
right.
it and address it within 24 okay. hours of the time it is received.
Okay.
I'm personally looking at them.
Thank you.
I want you to know that I will do that.
One more thing. Is it a public record for the new DM on his probationary period, how long, and what his salary is?
Our probationary period is 90 days. That is with any employee that we hire. And our records do state, because it is part of our minutes, what he was offered. And if look at those minutes, we can get you a copy of them from the
So you're not going to tell me right now, or the gallery right here?
I don't have a problem saying it if he's comfortable with saying it, because it's a matter of public
there's
record.
No top secret.
We offered Mr. Garcia our office.
Congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and I can promise you that we'll take a look at this issue. Just make sure that you follow up with this.
But let me fill out, like she said, let me fill out the complaint form. And as long as it's not somebody tells me it's taken under advisement, that's all I
can. No, sir, I wouldn't tell you that.
Okay,
we will definitely
thank you very much.
Dennis, you can count on it being a new day in this park. We have a new district manager, Miguel. We're very fortunate to have him. And we have a new chairperson. And we're very fortunate to have her. Following up on everything, complaints will not disappear.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Joanne Gagan, 241 Berry Court. I have a question for Mr. Curtis.
Yes,
may I address that? Yeah, hi. In soliciting for a lawn service, did you do it by written request for proposal?
Every bit of information I have for this type of thing, what you're asking. These people have been through the park.
No, my question is to you.
Oh, I have a written proposal.
No, my request for proposal, so that everybody gets the document. It's your specifications of what you want to have done. And they bid on that, and then you get that.
Yes.
This way, we don't know if everybody has bid on the exact same thing. You may have spoken to them and said, I want 700 homes mowed, but you forgot to tell this guy to edge it, and this one didn't know he had to pull it off. You have to have written specifications, especially when you're dealing with something in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And my question goes to you, Mr. New District Manager. Hate to put you on the spot, but have you ever gone out for written requests for proposals?
I've always had written proposals completely documented before I went in.
Could you speak?
I'm sorry. Any proposals that I've had in the past, we've always written them out before we actually spoke to any of the vendors first.
Right. So you do. You have to write your specs out. You have to give that to the people. You can't make a phone call, say, hey, I want to get a number on 700 homes, and this is what I want. That's not the way you do it. Not when, I mean, we request three bids when 5,000 and more. You're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm going to do one more question. I haven't been here in a long time, so I'm not understanding a lot. Obviously, everybody is dissatisfied with the lawn crew that we have working now. Who on the board approached them, gave them the reasons for your dissatisfaction, and received an answer? And what was it? Because I haven't been here. If you don't mind, make it quick, though. Everybody wants to go home.
I have contacted Lisa, who is the owner of Flawless Lawn Care, and I've given her photographs of damages. I've given her complaints upon complaints. We've given them a big packet of complaints of damage and stuff to the lawn care. She was very gracious and has offered to work with me for the remainder of the contract, because I told her she's in violation of contract, actually, because our contract stipulates a certain number of mows per year, and that's supposed to be the entire park per week, and we're only getting like half a park. But I'm supposed to be meeting twice a week with the staff that is in our park and the supervisor, and I will be going around with them to make certain that they're doing their work. Now, because of the fact that our new district manager just started today, I spent time with him versus them, but I will be doing that, and hopefully it will make an improvement. I can't guarantee it, but I'm trying to see what we can do.
Okay, and I'm just going to make one other comment. To go back to hiring staff to mow this place is taking a step backwards you will regret for the rest of the years that you live in Holiday Park. It's not only buying the top line equipment, it's maintaining it, it's repairing it, it's treating it well, and then hiring proper staff. You can't hire somebody that works in McDonald's right now. It's ludicrous to even think that way. So your bids from your people that you're going out to, and yes, having them come in to speak to the people in the park is an excellent idea and should be done, because that's a big contract. That's something you should always keep in mind to do. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to trustee comments. And we're going to start at the far end and work this direction, please.
I'll address the ladies here. As soon as we can get this where I can see it, it's a visual thing for me right now, we will have people in here to explain exactly what this going to do, what they're supposed to do. This is not going to be a fly-by-night situation. Too much money involved. When it comes to us doing it ourselves, this is something that we need to discuss. Nothing has been put down in concrete yet. It's all up for discussion. And if anybody's got any ideas on this program or getting this straightened around the way you want it, come see me, leave me a note. I'll get with you. This is a big deal, and it's not a one-man operation. It's not a seven-man operation. We need the input from everybody. It's the only way we're going to get this right. Complaints are coming in from all over, and we understand it. I just want to see it done properly for the future, because I'm getting along in age, and I'm going to have to face a lot of stuff, and I want it done right. I don't want my lawn burnt up and the weeds coming through just like everybody else. So that's where I'm at on that. I just hope things smooth out, and that's what we're trying to do. We got a brand new manager, and we got some problems that we're working on that will air themselves later. So Gary, you're up.
Yeah, I guess I only want to comment on we're currently paying 11 cents on a dollar, $11 a hundred for workman's comp, Medicare, and FICA, Social Security. That's a 3.35% workman's comp rate. we will be charged more than that for lawn care workers. Roofers, it's 30 cents on a dollar. Other areas like my trade, welding and whatnot, was around 11, sometime 15, depending on the shop and their accident rate. Just to caution us, Flawless had a rollover accident resulting in death off-site about 3 weeks ago, approximately. You can imagine what's going to happen with their comp rates. Our comp rate will be higher than 3.35% if we hire lawn care workers. One thing we need to let our homeowners know, Dave touched on it, the responsibility of the homeowners. Homeowners are responsible for spraying weed killer or removing weeds in areas where weed whipping cannot be done because it would cause damage to the skirting or siding. What the lawn crews need to know, Flawless and any new one or an internal crew, is if they don't have anything to protect it so you can get close with weed whipping, skip it. And then our ACC and our DM, through routine inspections, we'll see all these weeds that aren't killed. And they'll be cited for it. If they can't do it safely, don't do it. And then it goes back on the homeowner who hasn't protected his property from routine maintenance of our lawns. So that's all I got.
Thank you. Ms. Stone.
I just want to say one thing. I moved in the park, it'll be 3 years in July. And I think that we are going down the right track. You've got to have rules and you've got to have restrictions for parks like this so everybody is on the same page. Now, I think there is some compassion in this park where you guys that are getting these new homes, we have to understand that this is going to happen. And we know that you're in the right process of getting your shed and getting your carport and doing what you do. And I'm sorry if somebody spoke to you that said, you know, but I think we are doing the right thing and having our rules and things that we need in here, because we do have people that do not like to follow them. So whenever you move into a community like this, you are going to have to learn that there are going to be things that need to be done. And I will say that things weren't getting done, and Ron Foote and the members on our ACC board, since about a year ago, I thought the park was looking really good because we are all trying to follow the rules that need to be in the park. Now, sometimes you will drive around and you will see people's mobiles and you think, wow, those people really need to get some things done. And I commend these guys and whoever is on that board that they do try to get things done and they don't want to fine you. They just want our park to look nice. And I believe also about this mowing thing, these guys, I live way over on Sunflower and I have a lot of green space behind me. And I will look out and those guys are going, I swear, 25, 30 miles an hour. I don't know how they get the lawn mowed. So I think with Carol going out with these and saying, hey, okay, this is what's going on, this is right, and we're not going to be yelling and screaming at each other like we used to. I just feel that we're going down the wrong right path now. That's all I need to say.
Thank you.
I'd like to have an update on the Pinson Contractor Services.
Oh, I forgot that one. I'm sorry. The pension contract, at our last meeting, they had given us a contract that had been handwritten and changed. I asked for an update on it. Our actual vote that we took on that contract was for $34,673 and some change for the work. But when we voted to approve that bid, We also voted not to exceed $40,000. The new contract has come into the office, but I have not signed it because of the way it was worded. But when I had it clarified for me today, it does state on the contract not to exceed $40,000. It is showing $40,000, but it cannot exceed that. They are with the understanding that the amount was the $34,000, but because we said not to exceed, they have written their contract to show that, but they will not bill us for $40,000. It just cannot exceed the $40,000. And that was a clarification that I got today, so that they are on the same page as we are, and I will consider signing it based upon their.
I don't think that should even be on their contract. They don't even have to know about that.
I agree, but that's how it was written, and that's how it was presented.
Well, I mean,
I
we're
don't
the.
Know what else to do.
I would just give them this contract back and say, this is the one we want to sign, 34673.
Then I will speak to them again tomorrow and tell them we won't sign.
And the other thing.
And present that one with them, and I will do that.
I mean, they didn't even have to know that we approved it up to that, not to exceed it.
I agree, and I didn't tell them.
But the other thing is, when I was working with Lori, Lori and I are working on an office procedures manual, and she was showing me what she does with bills and showing me the process of how it all works. And she happened to pull out a bill from them today for $12,000.
That's their first.
And like, I haven't seen the contract. I don't know what our schedule of payment is.
Well, when the contract is signed, one of the agreements in the contract is that we give them a third of the bill. And the reason for that is so that they can purchase the equipment, or not the equipment, the materials to start the project. So all that the contract reads, one third at signing the contract, one third through the middle of the contract, and one third toward the end of the contract at the completion. And so the $12,000 is, and I turned it over to Lori because it came into the office. I wanted her to have it so that when we signed and agreed that she would have that for billing purposes. It has not been paid. It has not been authorized to be paid. It has not been submitted to Mark or the treasurer for payment. She just has it for her records because it is an invoice. It is not, because we cannot pay off of a bid. We have to pay off of an invoice.
But I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels, but I feel that this the contract they present
is on. And I will speak to them accepting is what we accepted was their bid of the $34,000. Please submit it in that format, and then we will sign off of it immediately.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Curtis, did you have your hand up?
Yes. I was involved in this little problem. We had voted to accept their contract.
Their bid.
Their bid. All right. So be it. But we also said that we would hold it not to exceed $40,000. We did not say that we were going to tell them, well, we're not going to allow you to go over $40,000. We accept your contract. That's when everything started. The $40,000 or the extra amount of money on top of the $34,000 or whatever the price was in case we needed to come in with some extra money. There was some talk from Bob Addy that it could be up to $28,000 to $30,000. That's when I said, well, let's put a cap on this of $40,000. If we need the money, it's been voted on. We'll be able to extend it or spend it. That's where that went, and how it got to here with the mix-up, I don't know. I wasn't involved with the writing. But the intent was 40 cap, we accept a contract at that. If we need a little extra, the board or the management can say, yeah, okay, we can okay that because it's under the 40,000.
I think that's the only reason that
came up is because I happened to mention that it's the same company that asked for $25,000 more when they did the sidewalk.
I wasn't involved in that. I can't help you there.
So, I mean, I don't think we should have. I mean, and I'm just as bad as everybody else because I did vote for that. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought we should have just accepted their contract and let it go at that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I again, will call them again tomorrow and tell them that we want the contract to be on the original bid of the $34,000 with nothing that mentions not to exceed 40. That 40,000 is for our information and our information only.
All right.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So we, before we sign it, we'll have that corrected. Thank you for reminding me. Becky.
I just want to ask each board member to understand and remember that they are one vote. Each board member can't say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They can't do that. It's a vote or it's a compilation of a discussion by all of us, not just one. And I appreciate everybody being here. It's nice to see all the faces over the summer. And I understand there's more full-time people here and it's great to have you. Thank you.
Mr. Boda.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I second.
I'll now, second that.
I already did.
He skipped me. I didn't get to say my little spiel.
We haven't put it on yet.
I only have one little tiny thing to say. On Wednesday morning, between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 11, we are going to have an official meet and greet of our new district manager. So for anyone that's listening via Zoom that couldn't make it tonight and they want to come say hello, we're going to have coffee and donuts in the hallway out here in our vestibule to say welcome. So please come join us.
Not to exceed...
What was the time again?
What?
If you don't come for me, at least come for the sweets. So,
Carol, what was the time again?
Between 8:30 a.m. and 11.
Thank you.
So now I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Who was the second?
Okay. All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming and being so patient. No. Yeah. All right, thank you.
That was a mile.